is Jerry. I'm on the preaching team, and Craig asked me to take the pulpit today while they are out playing around somewhere. Amen. So, today is my birthday, and you know, whatever. But I don't understand time. And, you know, I'd like to grasp time and why it has to continue aging me. And maybe I'll do a study on that. We're going to be in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And I've titled this message, Count It All Joy. And we're going to unpack these verses a little bit today. Craig gave me permission to go 2 hours. So I'll probably be by myself after about 20 minutes. But let's read James 1, 1 through 18. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds. That caught my attention. Could you give me my bottle of water? I forgot. That caught my attention. I was just reading the Bible, and thank you very much. And I happened to be reading James, and just that statement, count it all joy, in the midst of various types of trials. And I thought, I can't do that. I've never been very good at doing that. And I want to know, what is this about? And so I continued to read and kind of study it out a little bit. And I think that I've come to some conclusions that will be positive for us instead of, I got to count it all joy. You know, my life is a complete mess and everything goes wrong and my house collapsed and, you know, my car broke down and my health is bad and everything's going bad, but I have to count it all joy. And I don't think that's what James was saying. And so let's take a look. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. You know, don't hold back, James. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flowers fail and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. So he's coming back to that theme. Count it all joy. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Now, this is important, and we really need to grasp hold of this. It says, let no one say when he is tempted or in a trial, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And then the desires, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Now, right here, James is talking about sin and the trials that come with that. But that isn't, you know, that if you're dealing with an illness or a sickness or a tragedy or a calamity, that isn't your fault. You didn't devise that. You didn't think about that. And it wasn't part of, you know, what James was talking about here. In this section, when he talks about each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires, he's talking more about sin itself that we get ourselves involved in. He goes on to say, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So let's tear this apart a little bit. He first says, count it all joy in verse 1 and 2. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds. That word meet there means to be involved in. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you are involved in trials of various kinds. How many are involved in trials of various kinds? A few of you are. Some of you are not telling the truth. He says to count it all joy. Joy means gladness, happiness, rejoicing. To be that, have that attitude. When you're facing or involved in trials, and the word trial means a putting to the proof. In other words, it's you're trying, it's trying you to, for you to prove your faith. Are you going to endure this, or are you going to fold and collapse underneath it? It's proving, it's trying your faith is what this trial is doing. And that's what that word trial means. It means a trial of direct temptation to sin. And so that's what that means. But it also means calamity and affliction. So count it all joy, my brothers, when you are involved in calamity and affliction and temptation to sin. Now, does that make sense to you? Yes? No. It doesn't make sense to me to count it all joy when I'm in the midst of, or at least it used to not make sense to me until I got a hold of this. But, you know, to count it all joy that, you know, things are just going so bad and so horrible in my life. And you know, I have to count it all joy. And I don't think that's what James was saying. In verse 3, he says, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Endurance there, or steadfastness there, means a patient frame of mind. That this trial is testing your faith, that you might get to the place where your faith produces a patient frame of mind in the midst of this trial. You know, we worry a lot. I don't know about you, but I used to worry a lot. Used to worry about pretty much anything. pretty much everything. I'm worried. No, I'm just kidding. But as you grow in your faith and things begin to happen around you, you have more of a mind of patience with it. And I'll tell you the reason why as we move on. But we can find a peace and a strength and a patience in the midst of it. And that's what that word steadfastness, most translations translate it endurance. But that's what that means. And in faith means our belief or a firm persuasion and assurance, a conviction. We all have convictions. We all have assurance. We all have things that we are persuaded of in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have faith in him. We believe in him. We believe in God. And when that's tried, we believe. Our faith stands. And that produces that patient frame of mind. And then perfect means to be brought to completion. It's, I think it's teleos, which means something is completed. It's done. It's over with. It's finished. You've reached the point of, you know, that's the work. It's done. When Jesus died on the cross, it was a finished work. Amen. And same with this. This word perfect means to bring to completion. And so that's what these trials do. As we stand in faith, it perfects us in the idea that it brings us to completion. We get to the place where we are strong and steady, and it doesn't affect us like it used to, and we're strong in the Lord. Romans says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. There's an end goal here. Whatever the devil tries to do to you, whatever life tries to do to you, you are developing your faith to the place where you are patient and you are strong and you know what to do, and it's not going to move you away from the Lord. It's not going to move you. You're going to be steady and steadfast as you go through that, as you are involved in it. And God's going to bring you out on the other side of it. Amen. No matter what you're facing, God will bring you out on the other side of it to victory. He will help you overcome it. Number two in the outline says, what or who is the source of our trials of various kinds? Now, I want to be careful here, but sometimes we say, well, God's got a reason for this. Or, you know, it's all in his plan. Or it's, you know, things like that. Things that are kind of resolving settling into this must be from the Lord. So therefore, you know, I'm not going to fight it. But God wants us to fight against things that come against us, that want to destroy us, that want to kill us, that want to move us away from God in our walk and our relationship with God. So we have to be careful, you know, what our mindset is when it comes to various trials, when we are involved in various trials. It's common to attribute our trials and our testings to God. It's a commonplace. It's common in Christianity to attribute our trials and our testings to God. You know, we say things like, God must be testing me. He must be, you know, trying to teach me something. And maybe he is, and we'll get to the next point of what you do with that. But as a whole, trials and temptations and calamity and destruction and all of those things are not from the Lord. They are to be resisted in the power of the Lord. And the Lord will bring us through. Amen. We live in a war zone, a battle from the realm of evil spirit beings that are warring against the child of God in various ways. Various temptations to sin, sickness and disease, in lack and want of needed provisions. I see life like I used to go down to the pool when I was a kid. They started out with 3 feet, and then you move up, and you move up to the 5 feet, and then when you're really good, you go into the 10 feet where the diving boards are. And I never could swim very good. But imagine yourself in about 4 feet, 5 feet of water, depending on your height. It might be chest deep. But you're on one side of the pool, and on the other side of the pool is something that you really desire. It's over there, and you are trying to get to it. Have you ever tried to run in water? Seriously. Running in water, and you're just, it just resists you all the way, and you're just going and going. And you keep going, but that water is holding you back. I feel like that's what it's like to live in this world. We are in a constant war, but we have victory in Jesus Christ. Amen? But it feels like we're, you know, constantly, you know, pushing forward and having to push through, and it just seems like it's a constant way. Unless we find ourselves in the Lord where we can count it all joy. Amen. So we are in a warfare. We are in, look at my notes. We live in a war zone. Paul says it this way. He says that we are wrestling against evil powers in Ephesians 6. Finally receive, this is a translation, is called God's Word Translation. So it's a little different than ours. Finally receive your power from the Lord and from his mighty strength. Put on all the armor that God supplies. In this way, you can take a stand against the devil's strategies. This is not, we need to look at that, strategies. The devil doesn't attack us just randomly. He looks for points of weakness in our soul, weakness in our psyche, areas of weakness where we, you know, we struggle with a certain thing or we fear a certain thing, and he looks for opportunity. The Greek from that word there is methodia, and it's where we get the English word methods. And he's very methodical in his attack. He's very methodical in what he's trying to do to you, and that's get you off track and get you away from the Lord. But thank God we have victory in Jesus Christ. Put on all the armor of God that God supplies. In this way, you can take a stand against the devil's strategies. This is not a wrestling match against a human opponent. We are wrestling with rulers, authorities, the powers who govern this world of darkness, and spiritual forces that control evil in the heavenly world. For this reason, take up the armor that God supplies. Then you will be able to take a stand during these evil days. And listen to this. Once you have overcome all the obstacles. Amen. You know, I might be describing some pretty negative, heavy-duty things, but the point is that we overcome them. God gives us the power and the strength and the wisdom to overcome. We are overcomers. Amen. Amen. Jesus says we wrestle against persecution. In Luke's gospel, he said, "Blessed are you when people hate you." How do you like that? "Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and they revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets." And in John's gospel, he said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome this world." Paul says that we wrestle with the flesh. And I didn't think I'd have time to go through that, but you find that in Galatians 5. And the flesh is really, when Paul refers to the flesh, he's talking or making reference to someone who doesn't have the Spirit of God. All they live by is the flesh, whereas Christians can live by the Spirit of God. And Paul rebukes some of the Christians, and he's basically saying, you're acting like people that don't have the Spirit of God. And he's saying there's a wrestling between the flesh and the Spirit. And the flesh wants to do a certain thing, and it wants to get its way. And he's saying, no, you need to draw life from the Spirit. So there's a wrestling going on between the flesh and the Spirit. The point number three, and it's okay if you disagree with this. I am just presenting what I found, and if you can't agree with it, that's okay. It really is okay. I just challenge you to dig into the Word of God and find a word that brings comfort and blessing to you. But James says trials are not from God. In James chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, he is being tempted by God." That word tempted is the same word as trial. And they're close. But being tempted by God. "For God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one with evil." And then he goes on to talk about people that sin. You know, they're tempted when they're lured and enticed by their own desires and so forth. In verse 16, he says, "Do not be deceived." So what are they deceived about? They're deceived about the nature of God. He says, "Don't be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So he's saying, blessed, happy, remain steadfast under trial. He says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot tempt with evil, and he himself tempts no one. And then he talks about being deceived about the character of God. And I think that this is prevalent in our Christian culture, is there's a deception about God and his character. You know, that he is the one that does evil, that does evil things, or he allows evil things to happen to people, that he's the author of them, that they've been ordained since the beginning of time that you would experience this evil. And I think there's a level of deception that goes on with that. And James is saying here, don't be deceived about that. God's nature is good. He's a good God. He's not an evil God. He's good. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Now, the fourth point is, James says, ask God for wisdom. Ask him for wisdom in regards to the trial or testing that's going on with you. Instead of wondering what it is or just kind of making up things, ask God for wisdom in regards to the trial or the testing that is going on with you. In verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom or knowledge, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. There goes James again. You know, it's like, wow. I wonder if he went around going, do you want to be my friend? I wonder if he had any friends. But that reminds me of Peter getting out of the boat when he saw Jesus walking on the water. And Peter, there was a storm, there was waves, the wind was blowing and the waves were high and the storm was going on. And here Jesus is walking on the water. Peter says, I want to do that. And Jesus says, come. And so Peter walks on water. We don't hear much about that part of it, but he actually walked on water for a while. Amen. I'm wondering if water walking isn't the norm. Now, I'm not suggesting we get out of boats or go out on Lake Monona or Mendota and start walking on water, but that seemed to be the norm as Jesus called Peter forth. But Peter took his eyes off the Lord, and the wind and the waves and all of that, you know, brought fear into his life, and he began to sink. And he began to drown. But guess what? Jesus reached out and grabbed him. He didn't chide him. He didn't say, oh, you dummy. You're dumber than dirt. You know, what the heck were you thinking? No, he didn't do any of that. He grabbed him and brought him into the boat safely. And that's how it is with God. If we step out in faith, If we try to obey his word and try to act on things that we have learned from the scriptures, and we fail to do that, God doesn't put us down. He reaches out to us, and he lifts us up out of the waves and the storm and the trials. But he says to ask for wisdom in regards to the trial. That's why that part of the scripture is in there. You know, it's not just out of the blue. He says, if any man asks for wisdom, you know, or anyone needs wisdom, ask God. He's talking about wisdom in concern in regards to the trial that they're going through. And so we are encouraged to do that. It says that he gives generously or graciously and without approach or reproach. And that means to address with abusive or insulting language. He didn't reproach. You ask for wisdom, he doesn't get on your case. You should know this by now. You should know better. He doesn't do that. He gives us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need. He says to ask in faith, and that's a whole subject that has been talked about for years. And it's simply in Hebrews, says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You know, are y'all happy or are y'all sad or are y'all wish this is over? Amen. I've got a translation here that I want to read. And I want us to read together. This comes from the New International Commentary on the New Testament, written by James Adamson, and also a couple contributors, I think F.F. Bruce and Gordon Fee, whom I like to read. And so they were asked to translate this. So this is an official translation, but this is their approach to James, and from studying the language and so forth, this is what they've come up with. So it's a little lengthy, but we'll make it through. You ready? Deem it nothing but an occasion for joy, my brethren, whenever, on each occasion when you encounter trying assaults of evil in their various forms. You must realize that your approbation, which means official approval, is accomplished by constancy in endurance. But let that constancy perfect its work so that you may be perfect and complete in every part, lacking in nothing, but able to withstand any kind of assault of evil by which you may be tried. Notice he's calling the trial an assault of evil. But if any of you is lacking knowledge of God's way and will, God has a way and a will. Amen? And that's our prayer, I think, is what is your way and what is your will in the midst of this? Show me the way. Said that Moses, the nation of Israel, knew the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. Moses knew God in such a way that he knew the ways of God. And so he's saying here, ask for that type of knowledge of God's way and will. Let him ask of God who gives it to all as a simple, unconditional gift, and chides not the petitioner for previous ignorance. Again, he's not going to say, you dummy, you should know this. But let him ask in faith with no halting between two opinions. For the man who halts between two opinions is like the sea of waves. The way it is blown and beaten under the winds. Let not that sort of man imagine that he will get anything from the Lord. A man who is of two minds is unstable in all his ways. That's a whole another thing to unpack. Down to verse 12. Happy is the man who with constancy endures trying assaults of evil. For when, upon trial, he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one under trying assault of evil say, my trial by assault of evil comes from God. For God is invincible to assaults of evil, and himself subjects no one to assault of evil. And then he goes on. Let's go down to 16. Make no mistake, my beloved brothers. I'm not arguing. I'm telling you. Every good gift, yes, every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights of heaven, whose nature, unlike those lights, suffers neither the variation or orbit of any shadow. Amen. Let me conclude here. A couple of things that I wanted us to know today. First is God is not the source of our troubles that we experience in life. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. How many know that they're overcomers? Amen. In Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that the battle won't be intense or it might last a little while, but you're overcomers. God will see you through. Remember, second thing is God will give us wisdom to deliver us from troubles. And number three, we can count it all joy because God is for us, not against us. If I could have the worship team come. God is for us, not against us. Amen. Amen. He's a good God. He's a good God. There's a lot of things in the scriptures that are, they're just hard to understand. And they're, I looked at some other verses about testing and trials, and it made me think. I have to think through them to see how they fit. But James here is making some emphatic statements. And if we take the book of James seriously, then I think it's good that we apply what he's trying to tell us in these 16, 18 verses. Amen? Amen. Go ahead.